Curly shall curly, eh ho hoo oh hoo oh, hurdy oh hoo oh oh hee oh hee oh, me tarak me tram, eh ho hoo oh hoo oh, hurdy oh hoo oh.
Good evening, everybody. Tonight's show is focused on community. The show plays opposite the city assembly meetings every other week. So the focus of the show is to inform the community, and it's brought to you by K2 and their sponsors. The show tonight is a unique show. We're going to be talking about Recovery Month. September is Recovery Month, and the Recovery Month is an annual event that takes place. A number of events take place throughout the month of September, and we're going to be talking about the individual events and the people that that support these events and that take part in these events. This is the 22nd annual Recovery Month. Recovery Month is sponsored by the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration. Started, it's a national event, takes place in communities throughout the United States that choose to participate. It's coordinated nationally and supported by the federal government and National Institutes of Health. SAMHSA is a combination of the Substance Abuse Agency and the Mental Health Agency at the national level. And the attempt of supporting Recovery Month is to make or to get communities to understand that addiction, substance abuse, and mental illness are diseases that can be successfully treated, and people can recover from these diseases, that the stigma associated with these diseases are way overdue to be eliminated. And by coming forth as a person in recovery, by putting on events to show some of the positive aspects of recovery and that people not only can recover but be productive citizens, the attempt is to overcome this stigma and have these diseases accepted as a normal chronic disease that can be treated, can be managed, even if they can never be cured. And so it's coming out of the closet, in a sense, and people in recovery, whether from addiction or from mental health, will be coming out of the closet all throughout September in the forms of putting on a number of events. Tonight, I have a number of people here to interview that are participating in Recovery Month, some of them in recovery themselves, others very interested in the recovery field and are supporting recovery. But I think all of us would agree that the Recovery Month events in September are open to the community, and more than anything else, we'd like to invite the community to participate in the events we're going to talk about tonight. Recovery Month is really something that brings agencies together as well. A number of agencies in Juneau community and Southeast are set up to deal with mental health and addiction issues. It's quite a large group of agencies because we do have our substantial amount of these diseases present in our community. So it brings the agencies together to support Recovery Month as well. And the community businesses and have been really supportive of the events that take place during Recovery Month. So with that, I'd like to introduce my guest tonight. My name is Matt Felix. I'm the moderator tonight, and I work for the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence for many, many years, and have been involved in Recovery Month in Juneau from the start. Started out very slow here, got picked up a little speed about 10 years ago, and over the last at least 5 to 10 years, it's been quite an active a bunch of events take place during the Recovery Month. I think the community has not been aware of it to some degree, and tonight's show is one of the things we'd like to accomplish is to make sure the community participates with us in Recovery Month. So to my left is Katie. Katie, would you like to introduce yourself and tell a little bit about yourself?
Yep. My name is Katie. I am AmeriCorps VISTA, working at the National Council of Alcoholism and Drug Dependence, working as a media coordinator. And I'm originally from Minnesota, so this is my first Recovery Month participation. So I'm learning about Juneau and all the events that are taking place.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. The VISTAs are a volunteer organization, federal organization that comes and volunteers for 12 months, right? And get involved in the different aspects of the different agencies that you work in, support
yep.
that.
Okay. Correct.
Good. Welcome, and welcome to Juneau.
Thank you.
And please don't let this last month's rainfall give you the wrong impression of Juneau. It's a wonderful community, and we do have sunshine. Next to her is Bob. Bob, would you like to introduce yourself and explain how you got involved in Recovery Month?
Well, yeah. Hi, Matt. And you know me. I'm Bob. I work for NCADD as well. I have worked at Juneau Douglas High School and within the school system for the last 4 years, and I've been a substance abuse counselor for 11 years. Recovery, I see a lot of kids and adults as well in the community in recovery, and so I know that treatment works. I've been in recovery myself since 1995. I grew up in Douglas, which is a little drinking village with a fishing problem, I'd like to say. We support one another. We work with other agencies in the community to support those people that have addictions and mental health problems in the community.
So you say you're in recovery, so you've been in recovery since 1995. What got you into recovery? What broke the ice? I think a lot of communities, you know, got a pessimistic view of those drunks never get well. They just keep drinking till they die, or they're hopeless, or, you know, relatives of alcoholics or addicts have a very pessimistic view because they've tried to help and have been thwarted on their help. So maybe the community would like to know just how did you take that first step into recovery?
Well, you know, having grown up at the cultural low point of civilization, I believe that was the 70s growing up in Douglas, I kind of the Alaska lifestyle was work hard, play hard, a lot of drinking, you know, drugs were in the mix. So I like to say that I got into recovery through divine judicial intervention, and, you know, through several substance abuse-related infractions, driving under the influence, you know, and drugs were involved as well. So it became absolutely clear after repetition that the only real problem that I had was substance abuse issues, because that, of course, that was the thing that was really standing in the way to my success, and it was, you know, the ultimate roadblock to you know, having a comfortable life. And so after, you know, fighting the system and being, you know, going through the typical stages of denial and you know, coming to the point of acceptance that, yeah, this is a disease. It's not something that I chose and continue to choose to participate in, you know, being the drug and alcohol world. It became very uplifting to me that people were supporting my recovery and, you know, given the chance to participate in treatment and was treated with respect and was educated about the disease of addiction, that it truly is a brain disorder, so it is a disease. And the only way that it will never be cured but can be put in remission on a daily basis. And having the knowledge of that gave me the idea that recovery was possible. If I could stay sober for one day, I could stay sober for another day and another day. And I was really encouraged by all the 12-step meetings that I attended and could see a really large contingent of people that were successful, had happy lives, you know, and were just okay with how things were. They didn't have to suffer that black hole depression of hangovers, legal fees, you know, the things that cause that come along and cause depression in an alcoholic or drug addict's life. So having said that, I continued on and studied and became a substance abuse counselor. And Matt at the National Council was a substantial part of that, you know, as a mentor. Excuse me, and I eventually met my darling, lovely wife, Kathy, who I hope is out there listening, through our 12-step program. And as I was sponsoring a friend of hers who had a brother here in Juneau, and they came up for a visit 1 year back in 2000 and from Chicago. And we just fell in love, you know. And from there, I was able to raise a family and have a life, travel, you know, do all the things that normal, regular people do, which I couldn't have never, ever done before. I just didn't have, you know, would always procrastinate about those things. I'm going to do this when, or I'm going to do this at some point in the future. But I think a lot of recovery is, you know, having an active participation in your recovery program. And it's not just talking about it. It's actually getting out there and doing it. And Juneau, you know, the people in Juneau will be really supportive of my recovery, and I know of the recovery of many other people like me.
It is a supportive community. So I've, you know, read where some people, recovery starts with a bolt of lightning. Other people are sort of leveraged into it, and other people, an intervention is done, and some just get sick and tired of being sick with drugs and alcohol and that lifestyle. I guess you're one of those that is just sick and tired, huh?
Was sick and tired of it and didn't really realize it, you know. Didn't realize that there was an other way to live because it was such a routine. It was a habit, you know. I just want to say that 12-step program is very beneficial. There's also a program, it's called Celebrate Recovery, and that occurs at the Ock Bay Bible Church. Happens on every Tuesday at 5:30. They encourage people to come, and they also supply a really nice dinner out there, and then they have a spiritual 12-step meeting as well. So I encourage all folks in the recovery community. It's kind of a new thing, as far as I know, and it seems to work really well.
And what night and time is that?
That's Tuesday night at 5:30 at Ock Bay Bible.
Wonderful.
Yeah, right out there in beautiful, scenic Ock Bay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Next to Bob is Joanne. Joanne, would you like to talk a little bit about yourself and your involvement in recovery? And then we'll get into Recovery Month later.
Sounds good. My name's Joanne Lockwood. I'm a lifelong resident of Juneau, and I'm an April 2009 graduate of the Juneau Therapeutic Court Program. And my mission here is, once graduating and through the therapeutic court process, is to bring as much information to the Juneau community about the therapeutic court program. And it's I'll read a real quick Alaska court system, what the Juneau therapeutic court is, and then down the road I'd like to bring in to where people can find out more about it.
Sure.
Through different areas that I have here listed. The Juneau Therapeutic Court, this is off the Alaska Court System website, and I'll tell everybody later down the road how to get onto that. What is the Juneau Therapeutic Court? The Juneau Therapeutic Court, JTC, was created to assist alcoholic, misdemeanor, and felony DUI defendants who want to overcome their addiction and achieve lifetime sobriety. The JTC is a jail diversion program offering the participant intensive substance abuse treatment and community supervision to help deal with their addiction. Entry into the program is not automatic. Each request to the participant or to participate in JTC is reviewed on a case-by-case basis. The JTC, Juneau Therapeutic Court, is an 18-month voluntary program that requires commitment, strength, honesty, and persistence. Once a defendant has successfully opted into the court program, the defendant is required to, number one, enter intensive outpatient substance abuse treatment with a treatment provider, two, take a medicine that stops craving for alcohol, attend Alcoholics Anonymous and or other recovery meetings, appear regularly before the JTC judge for compliance hearings, work or attend school a minimum of 32 hours a week, undergo regular alcohol drug testing, maintain sobriety, and attend MRT, which is a moral recognition therapy. It's a behavioral 12-step program for behavioral error, and it's about 3 months long. And there's a whole list of other things that the therapeutic court requires of us. But for me, my first DWI arrest, and I've had four in a matter of 16 years now, was in 1996, and drinking and alcohol-related behavior and driving is not only a problem to the community, but it's also a problem in the home and the family and resulting into the community as well. The driving is only a small part of it, although it's a huge, huge danger and risk. It's an area where the alcoholic behavior was created years and years before that. And so it just started becoming the symptom and the result for me. And as I started into the alcoholic behavior and the driving and the drinking, the small time frame of recovery units on your first DWI and the second, and even on the third, which is a felony, and the fourth is a second felony, was not long enough for me, the first three. The fourth DUI, I finally found out about the Juno Therapeutic Court, and that was in 2007. And so this program has been around since 2005, but it's not well known in this community. And so my strive now is to get pamphlets out onto the bulletin boards and to tell people where to find information on it for family members or parents or loved ones or, you know, parents of children. There is a great 18-month program. The structure, the length of time is what I needed personally to really start severing the things that were unneeded in my life and to stabilize in my core to where I could focus and address my personal internal problems that I needed to deal with. And so as I started doing that, little by little I started creating a platform, little by little I stepped up, and as I made it through the therapeutic court program, just, you know, with great gratitude to know that I had a platform to start off on from. And still on probation, I'm still on 3 years probation, even after the 18 months. And I'll be done with that in another 6 or 7 months. And that's a gift too. You know, I look at all of this as a huge gift in my life, a huge gift in my family. 11 years ago, because of my husband's and my mutual alcoholic behavior, our son went into a year of foster care. And so all of these things in the community, I work with a lot of the different people that worked with us back then, I work with now, and it's a great tribute to this community to know that everybody embraces us and works together and moves us forward. In fact, when I was first trying to get into therapeutic court, Felix was on the court steps and told me, "You're going to do just fine in this program. It's a program for you." And so now to be on the other side of the fence and encouraging people to get into the program, to get into these recovery units that are available in Juno and embrace them and don't be afraid to speak about it and don't walk down the street embarrassed or afraid. Speak out, hug everybody that you see and say thank you. And so all of the people that I have dealt with, I do that with now, and it's just a joy to be living in Juno. Again, living, truly yeah. Living. So,
well, I think really you're a great example of what we often hear, you know, that you can't force anybody into sobriety, and you maybe can't, but you can sure put them in a position where they stay sober long enough to make sense themselves. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, and great counselors. There's Counselor Sam Abernathy out at Rainforest mm-hmm. who just can pinpoint just right to the nail of what is needed in all of us that she deals with, and I just admire her tremendously. And she's been and will and has been great, a tremendous help to everybody that's gone through the therapeutic court, and I would imagine others that go through Rainforest.
Right. We have a number of programs in the community. We're very, very fortunate as a small community to have such good treatment systems and good skilled therapists in town. It's just amazing. The private therapists, Rainforest Recovery Center. You know, I just came back from vacation, and you don't realize that very few communities this size has such wonderful professional people available in recovery. Perhaps that's one of the good reasons that we have so many recovery people involved in Recovery Month and in the community. There's such a large population of people in recovery, and now a lot of them coming out to you know, be open about it, come out of the closet about it. And I really thank you for that, Joanne.
Thank you. Well, I believe that it's also our closed road system, too. You know, either we face it or we don't. You mm-hmm. know, and I think that we have to face everything that we do in this small community and with no way out, know, to say, you know, easy way out.
So, well, basically, three DUIs in Alaska is a felony, so you're facing a year minimum in jail.
The fourth is two.
Pardon?
Solid. The fourth DUI is
2 years in jail. Okay.
Yeah.
And if you get into a program and you stay sober and become a productive citizen and contribute to the then follow the regime that they set up for you, take the medication, go to the meetings and go to counseling and whatnot, and you're successful over a period of 18 months, does the judge waive the sentence then and the fine?
The sentence, you plead guilty before you get
then
you're sentenced after the 18 months to your judgment. By completing the therapeutic court program, the 2 years is, and the time that you spend in that is because you are basically under the court order still, because you have not been sentenced. You are a judge that sentence that you made it through the therapeutic court, and then within 10 years from that, you can apply to get your license back. So it's 10 years instead
wonderful.
Of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. And how much sobriety do you have now?
4 years. You know,
wonderful.
Going on,
congratulations
going on
to you.
Yeah.
And I'd just like to ask, have you gotten together with your son that was...
Yes, and come back around off and on with my husband and Maura on this last year as he's accepted his role in sobriety. As you say, you can't make anybody do it. You know, although I just walk my path. I have a real straight and narrow path that I focus on. And, my son and I, we have a great relationship. It's awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great.
He's the kid that you'd see in the newspaper doing the double backflips on the front page. And so, yeah, he's pretty neat.
That's great.
It's
great.
Really fun. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
And next to Joanne is me. Would you like to talk a little bit about your recovery?
Sure, Matt. I'm me, and I think that recovery is... such a personal thing, and I'm here as an artist and a poet because I really love the opportunities that Recovery Month offers those of us who are in recovery to develop our creative expression of what we're going through. Recovery is such a personal journey for each person, to each person, and between them and their higher power. And it's a spiritual way of being. It's not just something that happens to you. It's something that you do, and the expressions of that that come through in creative ways like poetry and art are very powerful and very moving and speak to a lot of people in a lot of different ways, and it doesn't really matter what you're recovering from as opposed to where your journey is taking you. I think that's the key to what recovery is to me, is where I'm looking towards my journey of serenity and health and a sense of myself, forgiving myself for my mistakes and accepting the things around me that are hard. Because I think that one of the hardest things that most people face in any journey of recovery is dealing with the way in which life just seems to keep throwing us those curveballs, and it really doesn't matter how well you succeed in staying away from any particular addiction as opposed to how you just deal with the economy, what's going on with your job, what's going on with your home or your car or your pets or your kids or all of the way that life is. And that's the most wonderful thing that I have to be grateful for about my program, is that it gives me a sense of my center and my guidance from my higher power and my connection to the community. And I'm able to just go forward and deal with whatever comes my way in a peaceful space.
Mm-hmm. You sort of remind me, I've had a number of people in recovery say that I'm really lucky to have addiction because it led to the big change in my life, that I live a life now that I would never have lived had I not had addiction. It was a painful process, but it led to a point in my life where I was able to go from that point forward to a life that... where I enjoy life and I have some serenity in life, peace in life, and am able to do that without any support of drugs or alcohol or any other chemicals. So you sort of remind me of that.
Indeed, I think that's a very true and common saying, particularly in my program, that we are indeed grateful for what brought us to this place of recovery, this mm-hmm. place that we are, and on this journey that we are. It's a true blessing.
Well, you gave me a great lead into the discussion tonight on Recovery Month. And again, September every year is Recovery Month across the nation. Anchorage has a huge number of events going on in Recovery Month, and I think some years, though, Juneau had even more, but they sort of envied us down here. We had such an active recovery community. I remember, I think, one of the first things that took place, I'm going to sort of skip around here, but was the Poetry Slam, and you've been involved in the Poetry Slam for years, I remember.
I have. I love performance poetry, and I love writing poetry, and I love getting up in front of an audience, and I love winning cash prizes, which is really cool. Helps me along every time I've scored that way, which has been reasonably often for my share. I think I've got my share of...
let me just get down to the base. What is a poetry slam? I mean, I didn't know till a few years ago.
A poetry slam is a competition where people bring their original poetry and perform it in front of a live audience. And random people from the audience are chosen as judges. And those judges rank it. You know, poem can be the best you've ever heard, knock you out of your seat, give it a 10, or whoa, we're really sorry we let this person up there, you know, give them a 4 or something like that. But really, you know, people are very kind at this particular slam, especially, I think, because it just takes so much guts to get up there and talk about the personal aspects of your own recovery. And nobody, I think, has ever walked away feeling like they were not in some way validated by their opportunity to get up and share their emotions and their perceptions through their poetry. And I think that they're asking people to bring this year 3 poems. Sometimes it's a round of, it's kind of a 2 rounds, so 2 poems at least, but then perhaps there's a tie or something, and you have to do a tiebreaker sort of thing. And anyway, whoever has the most points at the end of the evening gets to walk away with some money.
So it's a recovery-inspired poetry jam where people do their own poetry and present their own poetry. Prizes are given.
Cash prizes.
Cash prizes.
Yes, I'm on the cash. I think it said $200, and
$200.
Last year's the first place prize that I got was...
And how's that determined? People applaud, or they vote?
It's the judges. It's the 3 to 5 people out in the audience giving them a score of, you know, something up to 10, and then, you know, the cumulative scores of your first round will take you into the second round, and mm-hmm. sometimes that's, you know, they'll do like a 50% cut. All the top people move on to the second round, and then the second round goes.
An elimination type thing.
Mm-hmm, and then the cumulative score at the end takes you to first, second, and third place winners.
And I guess you can bring as many as 3 poems if you're a prolific poem writer.
I noticed that they're also inviting people to just get up and jam with poetry. If you have a poem that you'd like to share, you can come ahead of time, before the actual competition starts, and just warm the audience up a little bit with whatever you have to share.
Wonderful. And it's open to the community as well. You don't have to be in recovery. It can be about anything, but most of these events now are open to the community, and we want to see poets who feel they're competitive and want to be can really, you know, come and present poetry about anything in life. Really.
Amazingly enough, a lot of life can be related to recovery.
Yeah, I can believe that. Yeah. Well, this will be taking place now Friday, September 16th, 6:30 to 9, at the Canvas at on Seward Street. Is that correct? 223 Seward,
yes,
downtown.
That's right.
Boy, we think we can fit everybody in there. I think last year's Poetry Slam had over 100 people, didn't it?
I don't recall. I couldn't tell you. It was a pretty crowded little room out there in Ock Bay. Right. I think that being downtown, it'll be a little bit, I figure that it'll attract more people, in fact. And the Canvas holds a regular poetry slam once a month anyway, the Wishkadai Poetry Slam. And that's just for a small cash prize, but it's still there.
I see.
And so I think that they're ready and able to accommodate whatever they get, whatever kind of crowd we can get out there.
All right, good. And $200 first prize. I think there's other prizes,
well,
too.
I think the $200 is shared between the first, second, and third. Okay. That would be my guess.
Whatever we raise, be able to
raise. Pitch in some more, would you guys?
Great.
Any finger food there?
They usually offer snacks, yeah.
Yeah, there's always food at all these events.
And lots of coffee.
Yeah. Stay alert to read your poems. We'll fill you full of coffee. So that's great, Poetry Slam, 16th of September, 6:30 to 9, and often it goes into the night if there's a lot of participants. So please, everybody in the community, you're more than welcome. Come down. Some of the poems are very emotional. They're very personal. Some are, focus on recovery. They've got a lot of happiness in them. Very clever poems, a lot of them very clever, and open to the public again. So the 16th, 6:30, down at the Canvas. So that's the middle of the month. The first part of the month, there is, all month long, I guess, the Silver Bow donated the back room as an art gallery. And a lot of people in recovery and others will be, starting on First Friday, that'll be the first day of the gallery show, the Art of Recovery. People in recovery are, from all over Southeast are encouraged to submit their works of art. It can be any work of art. It can be paintings, carvings, jewelry, anything. And they're allowed to put it up for sale as well. So the art show starts on the first Friday, but because of Recovery Month goes all month long, I think we're going to have the Silver Bow back room all month long to be displaying and selling art. Is that correct? Anybody know? Participate in the art show?
I think so.
Is that right, Katie?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Well, if that's true, then I have a lot of art that I've collected over the course of my sobriety, and I'd be absolutely willing to share some of my valuable pieces and offer them up for sale.
Oh, sure. put a price tag on them.
My valuable collection of goods there. Yeah.
I saw some stuff that was being donated this morning, and it was absolutely beautiful. Some of so clever. Some of this stuff, freehand art, is just amazing. So it's already starting to come in. For September 2nd. Anybody familiar with the next event Wednesday? What is the Recovery Film Festival start? Oh, it's all month long as well. Mm-hmm. So I think the first one is September 7th. Anybody know anything about the film festival? There's a number of films that will be taking place at the Nickelodeon, Gold Town Nickelodeon downtown. They basically are films about changing life. They're some of them are about recovery. Some of them are about life-changing events, how people improve their life. The one that I'm familiar with is Lost in Woonsocket on the 28th of September, is a story about two men, Skid Row alcoholics in a small town, I think in Connecticut, and one gets sober eventually and one does not. And it follows them, the public television station back there, crew, got a grant to follow them through life and to try to see. They weren't supposed to steer them into recovery, but the crew got emotionally attached to these two guys. And you could tell they sort of steered them. They gave them rides to meetings and things like that. So it's really a documentary about two alcoholics who are homeless and wandering across the U.S. but end up in this small Connecticut town, and eventually embrace sobriety and normal functioning lives. One has a much harder time than the other. If I remember correctly, I didn't think the second one got sober, but perhaps he does. The tagline here says that they both got sober, so I hope that's true. It's a small little town about the size of Juneau in Connecticut. Doesn't have as many services as we did, but there was some dedicated people in a little halfway house. that just kept taking these people back till they finally finally got enough sobriety under their belt and good nutrition to recover. And the show shows that it's a low budget film and shows that anybody can do it. You know, even homeless with nothing going for them can do it. And if a community supports that kind of thing. And it made me think of Juneau because we're so supportive here of the homeless and trying to get them back on their feet. On September 7th, there's a, what's that film called? Yeah, documentary about a man who, after a traumatic brain injury, found an unusual way of dealing with his recovery from both his brain injury and alcoholism. And this is a very personal story about one individual. I saw that years ago and had a double problem, you know, a trauma, brain injury, and which makes it very difficult to function, you know, at the optimum level, let alone understand some of the concepts of recovery. But they do it. They do it. If they're persistent, they can do it. And this is a sort of a life documentary as well about recovery. On September 14th, No Kidding Me Too, a documentary about an actor, Joe Pantolino, shedding light on the stigma related to a bipolar disorder, depression, self-medication with a number of different medications, and other aspects of mental illness. So that one on the 14th focuses on the complexities of mental illness and overcoming the spiral downward due to a mental illness combined with drug addiction and abuse of prescription drugs. And then on September 21st, Life Support, starring somebody I know, Queen Latifah?
Latifah,
sorry. Somebody I don't know, I meant. And it's a true story, a life trauma about a mother who overcomes a crack addiction to become a positive role model for her community. And she's open and honest about her addiction, even when she's on TV today, and how it affected her life, loss of her family, loss of her children, and how she was able to overcome that addiction, which is a very, very strong addiction. Even in a ghetto-type community, and when there was support offered, and came back, put her family back together. So the series of films at the Nickelodeon are very moving. Some of them bring you to tears. Some of them you'll cheer and root for the individuals. But together, they really support the philosophy that recovery is for everybody, that there's nobody that's hopeless, that everybody can be in recovery under the right circumstances with the right support, the right treatment, and you know, pointing them in the right direction. So I think, you know, if you want to get a good education about addiction, how it affects mental illness and co-occurring disorders. You got to go all September. Go to all four of these films. So September 17th is Mar Winkle. September 14th, No Kidding, Me Too. September 21st, Life Support. And September 28th, Lost in Woonsocket. Woonsocket's a town in, I believe, in Vermont or Connecticut. So there'll be all month at downtown Nickelodeon there in the Alaska Steam Laundry building. The other thing that we'll be doing, Recovery Month will be covering, is September 9th at restaurants citywide is free non-alcoholic beverages to pregnant women. Prevalence of fetal alcohol syndrome or fetal alcohol spectrum disorder in Alaska is exceedingly high, and there's been a 15-year major effort to educate child-bearing age women, especially about drinking during pregnancy, and this is an event that really is sort of educational to bars and liquor stores, and to get them to be aware and their clerks to be aware that serving pregnant women can be dangerous, and focused on educating the women themselves as well as the people around them, so and their partners. So raise awareness about women not drinking alcohol during pregnancy. Participating restaurants will offer free non-alcoholic beverages to pregnant women on September 9th, and hand out material at all these places to women that are pregnant or thinking about being pregnant, or really of childbearing age, anybody that's interested or their partners. So the restaurants and bars around town are voluntarily participating in FASD, Fetal Alcohol Spectrum Disorder Awareness Day. I'd like to thank Char, a hotel, bar, and restaurant retailers for sponsoring that day. The Recovery Walk is on September 10th. Has anybody participated in that walk? Nobody here? I know this one dates way back as well. You know, it's not a jog, it's not a run, it's a walk for those of us who are willing to walk and aren't joggers. And you don't have to be in great physical shape, but you can walk at your own speed, I understand. Recovery Walk will support people in recovery. So it's not just for recovering people, it's for people who are supporting others as well. So people bring their spouses, family members, want to show support for the individual, now show support for the whole movement by walking during that day, September 10th. Meet at Marine Park at 1 p.m. Is that a Saturday? Saturday, September 10th. And to walk across the bridge to Douglas at Sandy Beach. There'll be a potluck-style refreshments, drumming starting at 2:30, and everyone is welcome to Sandy Beach, whether they participate in the walk or not. We'd really like to see a big crowd come out, walk across the bridge. Let's hope it's, you know, we've had all our rain in August, so that September 10th will be a nice day.
And I would just like to reemphasize, Matt, that that's recovery from just about anything. You can be recovering from divorce, depression, financial loss. Just come out and get those endorphins going and take a great walk with the recovery community. I know I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
First time, I'm committing, I'm going to do it. So there you have it.
Good for you. You're going to walk?
I am.
I got to watch and see that, yeah. I'll hold you to it.
Okay.
You know, the thing about these events, especially the recovery walk, but really all these events is you'll come out and meet people who are in recovery who are willing to be supportive of you and your recovery. So if you're, you know, sick and tired of drinking, using, you're having some problems with the dire weather we're having, you're down and out, come out and make friends. Come out to one of these events and make friends and get the support you need. There's nothing wrong with asking for help, and it may be a turning point in your life. So whatever you want to do, you know, you want to go to the movies, you want to do the recovery walk on the 10th, you know, just come on out and be part of it. Be part of it. Be part of the whole month. Participate, and you'll probably make a friend that's willing to help you. And just reach out. And I'm almost sure at one of these events there'll be a hand reach and touch yours. So come on out to one of these things. So the big event then is the Soberfest on the last of the month, the 30th, at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. And I know most of you have been to that, right? Joanne, what happens there?
Oh, well, let's see. Do you want me to read what this says?
Sure.
Yeah, Soberfest, Friday, September 30th at the Juno Arts and Culture Center, pre-party at Zach Gordon Youth Center. 4 to 6:30, a family pre-party at Zach Gordon Youth Center. 6:30, the doors open at JACC with pizza, non-alcoholic beverages, hula hooping, and information tables. 7 o'clock, singer-songwriter Rick Haglin will be performing. 7:30 Addiction Mental Health Professional Awards. I was there last year, and Bev Mueller and Judge Keith Levy both received those, and that was just a real tribute to both of their lives. 8 to 11, live dance music by Carrie Groven and the Wrist Rockets. Soberfest is a party with live music, dancing, door prizes, hula hooping, information tables, addiction, mental health professional awards, and cheap food with dance music provided by Carrie Groven and the Wrist Rockets. Soberfest is a chance to socialize and have fun in the alcohol-free environment. Also, family pre-party at Zach Gordon Youth Center from 4 to 7 with ping pong and pool tournaments, climbing wall, basketball, and racquetball. All activities are free and open to the public. Contact Terry Tibbett at 465-4765. Or at her website, terrytibbett@alaska.gov. She's the coordinator.
Right.
It's a really neat event.
But you don't have to have tickets. Just come on the last day of the month, the 30th of September, and enjoy yourselves. And this is really a family event. I don't care how old your kids are. This is a whole community family event. We want everybody to come. You don't even have to be in recovery or even know anybody in recovery. Come and enjoy a party. The food's been donated, the drinks been donated, and this is basically a party for the community, by the recovery community, and the agencies that support recovery. So it's an open invitation to the community at the end of the month to come and have fun on a Friday night after work. Don't even go home after work and get ready. Just come on over to the Jack and enjoy yourself. And starts as early as 4 o'clock. So, just truly enjoy yourself and get to know the community, the recovery community, and get to know others, neighbors, and whatnot. This is a open party for the community of Juneau, and the music is great to dance to. You'll enjoy some of the things that go on that night, even though they might not pertain to you. And this is open for anybody in recovery too, for mental health or addictions, and it's a good place again to really meet a person that in recovery, or somebody that can be supportive of your recovery if you just reach your hand out. This is the main event that I like the most, and the party part. So this is a true party. Shows too that you don't have to have drinks or drugs to have fun, and this is just good clean fun, and it gets sort of crazy as the night goes on, and even without drugs or alcohol. So come and be a witness to that if you don't want to participate.
Except for the hula hoops.
Yeah, especially the hula hoops. So I'm happy that you all joined us, and I really appreciate you being open and honest about your recovery. I wish you a great deal of luck. Maybe if there's people out there who are thinking they might need to get into recovery, can you give them any advice before we leave the show?
Well, Matt, I'd just like to say to anybody out there who thinks they might have a problem with drugs or alcohol that you probably do. And there's just so many great resources here in Juneau and Douglas. We have NCADD. Their phone number's listed in the phone directory. It's 463-3755. All your information is kept confidential. People aren't, they're very understanding of people's problems with addictions. And also there's the Juneau Rainforest Recovery, Juneau Youth Services for adolescents. So we do have, and there's a whole host of private practitioners out there. I think it's just a word of advice. It's good to go. It's a matter of health. It's a health issue, so it's good to go out and have yourself checked out to see whether you really do have an addiction or alcoholism developing, or if it's middle stage. There is help. There is you can be put in remission and have a healthy life. I think that people, all people, have a common fear of change to some degree. We become accustomed to what we've been doing, so we keep doing it, and we're creatures of habit, and we're probably not the smartest animals on the planet. You don't see other animals running towards natural disasters or volcanoes like human beings do. So, I just think that there's help out there. We have a great community of support. Also, I just want to reiterate what Matt was saying about the Soberfest. You know, what a great time to have a party. It's always a great time to have a party, and especially at the end of September when it could be rainy and dreary, and, you know, people go through enough stress in their life where it's time to unwind a little bit and have some fun, you know. So I just want to emphasize that.
Thanks, Bob. I think you're right. There's always something that can be done. If you have a relative, especially, a lot of times, intervention is the way people get started into recovery. Nobody walks into recovery, like you said. They fear change. They fear recovery. People who are going to help them into recovery are a threat because they're going to take away the support, the drugs, and the alcohol that they think they have. If you're a relative, if you have a husband, wife, daughter, son, any relative that needs help, give us a call or call somebody in the phone book that's a professional listed, and get advice, because there's always something that can be done. Please don't give up. Everybody's worth it. And I know in some cases, living with someone with addictions, especially, or mental illness, can be so frustrating and so anguish-producing. But believe me, there's always something that can be done, and it's a process. Nobody has a magic wand to make them well, but there is a process. There's a step-by-step process that people can get well. And you know, tonight, there simply is no reason that somebody can't take that first step with some help if they're shown the right direction. And the same goes with depression, with the right medication. Really now, there is no reason for anyone to be depressed or to deal with a seasonal affective disorder. Any of those nowadays are conditions or disorders that are treatable. They're very, very treatable. There's no reason for somebody to suffer depression with the modern methods of treatment that we have. So take that first step, whether it's addiction or depression or any other mental disorder, take that first step and get the help you need. Nobody does this alone, and that's a key to remember. Nobody does it alone. It's one of the things you need help to break out of, and it's possible. That goes through the traumatic head injuries problem that we have around Juno as well. And people's lives can be improved with that terrible disorder. So take that step, or if you're a relative, take that step.
Matt, I was kind of glad to hear you talking about relatives, because I think that, an important aspect about recovery that isn't often addressed in these situations is the recovery of the family of an alcoholic or a user or somebody who's suffering from a mental illness or a traumatic brain injury. And these sort of things don't just happen to a single person. You're not living in a vacuum. You have people that love you and that care about you. And if you're one of those people who love or care about somebody with a problem, you're also suffering. And there's also help for those people. And that's what I hear you talking about, not just about the focus on helping a particular addict recover from their addiction or their dysfunction, but to engage in recovery for the whole family. And I think that that's a real key issue, that people who love somebody who's a user have to recognize that they themselves deserve to recover as well.
Mm-hmm. It's a family disease. That leads me to ask, how many Al-Anon meetings for families of people with addictions are there in Juneau now? Does anybody know how many Al-Anon meetings a week there are? There's at least 3 or 4 Al-Anon meetings a week all over town.
Yeah, I believe it's somewhere around 5 at this point. Listed in the About Town, section in the Juneau Empire.
And in the personals, I think the AA meeting number is listed as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's at least 2 or 3 meetings a day in Juneau now with AA, isn't there?
Yeah.
I know there's every day at lunch. There's a meeting that's quite well attended up. Is it still at the a rectory hall by the Catholic Church in downtown.
There's an early bird.
Early bird, and there's a one early in the morning before work.
Right.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And how about Sundays? There's a big one on Sundays, or breakfast meeting, or two or three on Sundays.
One at 5 to 6, yeah, I think another one at 8.
There's an all-women's meeting, I think, on Thursday night out at the Catholic Church in the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Is that St.
St. Paul's?
St. Paul's. And there's an all-men's meeting. And really, in AA, all you have to do is be willing to come and to the open meetings anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that help available, people willing to be supportive of you as well, three times a day. I mean, wonderful to have that available in our community.
And if I may, one more note on the therapeutic court information program. I have put together some brochures, stapled together one full page of the JTC, Juvenile Therapeutic Court Requirement Sheet, the Alaska Court System Sheet, and then a beige brochure that they have available. And I stapled them all together, and I'm going to go after this meeting here and put them onto different bulletin boards. So anybody that might be listening that has an interest in what we're talking about as far as what I'm talking about, therapeutic court, there's information on those sheets. And then they can also go on to online and type in Alaska Court System, and that allows you to type in the search box Juvenile Therapeutic Court, and you'll pull up information on that, and it'll bring up different courts in Alaska as well. The Juno Empire, if you go online and type in their search box Juvenile Therapeutic Court, Klaus Stolpe has done an awesome job on covering a lot of the ceremonies, the programs, the participants in his articles. There's some real positive articles in that. And then in the prison, and that's kind of where I targeted the last couple of years, is getting this information directly into the prison. There's a learning center, which is a library and computer center where everybody is allowed to go in. And so we've got a box in there now that I resupply every 3 months with the information on it that they can call our coordinator, Kendall Mary. And the Juvenile Therapeutic Court meets on Wednesdays every afternoon at 3:30 in the courthouse B, in the Diamond Courthouse on the 4th and Main Street. Judge Keith Levy presides, and the public is invited to attend. So if you're interested, go to listen to one of the hearings and see what's involved. And they're really just awesome. If you're interested in observing court, please call and confirm that court is being held on its regularly scheduled day. The number to call is 463-4756, and you'll be able to ask Kendall if it's in session that day. And
so therapeutic courts every Thursday?
Every Wednesday at 3:30. Go in the main floor, and it's the direct court right in front of you. It's courtroom B.
It's wonderful.
It's awesome.
to see the recovery and to see people really trying to stay sober, and to work and explain to the judge what they're doing to stay sober.
More note, we do have 28 people that graduated, 29 people since it started in 2005, and we have an alumni. So we gather and everybody goes to different, all of us go and see the graduates and different things. So it's becoming a more community-involved process. So thanks for the time on that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's just great, yeah, that you got the Alumni Association going now. Another aspect of recovery you never thought of. Think of the money you're saving the state, 28 people that aren't in jail for a year to 2 years, you know. And think of their families that got their loved one back supporting them.
Yeah.
That's just great to hear.
Matt, if I could, just I want to put a little plug in for our program down at the Juno Douglas High School. I am the drug and alcohol counselor there for adolescents, and also we have, this is a program supported through NCADD, and we have a program out at Thunder Mountain High School also, so if we have parents out there listening in the audience and they feel that their adolescent might have, a problem or leaning towards a problem with some substances, we are counselors that are available at the high school to do initial screening, interviews, assessment, and determine the scope and severity if there is truly a problem. So it's good to, rule it out if you're seeing some red flags with your youth, such as changing friends, dropping school grades, just different patterns of behavior that might not be normal, regular teenage behavior. Sometimes hard to determine what that is, but if you can, smell the aroma of alcohol, coming home from a school dance or a party with friends. So, we just want to knock this down and help kids, support kids to not have to go through some of the problems that we have had to incur as adults, and so it's better. The more preventative measures that are, I believe, and we believe, are huge in the lives of our young people, so they can grow up drug and alcohol free and not have to face those things. Having said that, we also, at both schools, we offer support for many, many teenagers who are in active recovery as adolescents, and we support them throughout the school day. I think it's a fabulous program that we have in the school system here, and I just want to thank NCAD for their support and also all the other agencies that collaborate and help us out with mental health and substance abuse disorders in the community.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Yeah, that's wonderful that the school board saw the need and responded, and we have independent counselors right in the high schools try to deal with the drug and alcohol problem at an early age, prevent a lifetime of, and that goes for tobacco as well. You know,
right.
Alaska still is the only state where the leading cause of death is cancer, and we want to get rid of that tag that we have on this state as a smoking state and creating most of that cancer. So cancer supersedes heart disease in this state, and that's just something that we can't have in this state if we want to be a healthier state. So I'd like to thank you all. I'd like to thank K2 for having us, and especially Martha, our technician tonight. We couldn't have produced a show without her, and the community at large. I'd again like to invite them. All activities during September are open to the public. Please come and participate, have fun. Recovery Month is a happy month. It's where we celebrate happiness and not the other side of addiction. So come on, meet us. You know somebody that needs our help. Come on, meet us and let us know. We'll give you the support you need. Give us a call anytime. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.